So today, my friends, it is the fifth Sunday of Lent, and we continue to the texts continue to lead us to reflect upon the call of discipleship. Remember, we as a recap, we went from Nicodemus to a Samaritan woman to last week to a healed blind beggar, and we learned that discipleship is not only for the educated and rich, it's for the poor and marginalized, and that discipleship finds us in our doubts, our questions, and even in times of conflict. And today we go deeper into the layers of discipleship. Discipleship in times of despair, sorrow, death, and suffering. Discipleship when we weep. That in the path that of discipleship that in our even in our weeping that leads us back somehow to life. To breath, to unbinding. We see this in the scriptures from John, in this comprehensive story of Jesus and the raising of Lazarus, and from Ezekiel and the vision of the valley of dry bones. Both of these texts call disciples, call us to stand in that tension between lament and hope, between presence and prophetic action. Now, the topic of death, even for us churchgoers, people who believe in God and follow Jesus, can be difficult to engage, even as we trust in divine mercy. Because frankly, who would want to go around talking about death? Who wants to be around people who are talking about death, huh? Yet death, like life, is part of our reality. It is part of what it means to be a disciple. We live in an era that has seen the average life expectancy jump from just 46 years in the last century to almost 79 plus, a little plus, for many people, in just 100 years. In our battle against death, we have discovered vaccinations, procedures, surgeries, and treatments and diets that can prolong life considerably. Yeah. Yet, are we better prepared to deal with death? Are we? Are you? Am I? Can we ever be? Dealing with death and loss is hard, but then dealing with life can be just as hard and painful. People, as we know and have seen and witnessed, can live in ugly, unjust ways. And there are people who live alone and unloved. There are people who live with bitterness, anger, resentments, consumed by fear. And life wounds us in ways that are hard to recover from. We entomb life and joy. Neither life nor death are for the weak of heart. But part of being a disciple of Jesus means we come to terms with life as we come to terms with death. We see an intimate portrait of death in our scripture today from John, where we see death that comes to a small village, a single family, death that is fresh, raw, stinking, and has a name, Lazarus. There is weeping and wailing. There are all those futile questions and comments. Lord, if only you had been here. Why did you delay, Jesus? If only I had done this. If only I had encouraged her more. Only if I had called. Why didn't I see the signs? Could he not have opened the one who opened the eyes of the blind man, kept this man from dying? Where were you when I needed you, God? Why didn't you come sooner? Why? Why? Why not? On the opposite end of the spectrum, we see the horror of communal death illustrated in Ezekiel and his vision of the valley of the dry bones. So just bones as far as you can see that are out in the open, a death that comes to people, communities, nations, regions of the world. And in this vision of rebuke and warning, death has been a way of life for so long for these people that it no longer stinks. The flesh is gone, the sinew is gone, the spirit is gone. There are no mourners. Instead of weeping and wailing, there is utter stillness and silence in this valley. It's just death alone. Now, our Bible lessons don't explain death, even as we, as thoughtful people, seek answers in the face of devastations that we are surrounded by in our world. But our texts do invite us in to sit in the valley or by the tomb. And by keeping faithful company with death, we are promised by God that we will come to know the Lord and know life. So today we sit by that tomb in that valley of death. The spirit of this of the presence speaks to us where we are asked to look at sorrow and unfinished business and broken dreams. And we come to see more clearly the source of our suffering, the true disease. It is the lack of love and the lack of love connection. Our hearts are broken by chronic isolation, love lost by our guilt and shame and despair. So we come to see that death is not the problem. Life is not the problem. The problem is the conditions that we have learned to place on love. Jesus wept after he showed up in Bethany. And when Jesus first received word of his friend Lazarus, he was ill. He had just had this hostile encounter with religious leaders. They were ready to stone and kill him, and he had to flee to safety. By responding to Mary and Martha, Jesus again places himself in great peril. He returns to the territory where his enemies are planning to do away with him. And as Jesus stood before the grave of Lazarus, calling him back to life, Jesus was signing his own death warrant. That you see at the conclusion of that chapter that we read, the chief priests and Pharisees called a council and decided to terminate Jesus once and for all. Jesus would soon be exchanging places with Lazarus in the tomb. As Holy Week draws near, our texts prepare us to enter and engage ourselves as disciples in the mystery of life, love, and death, the suffering and sacrifice, the mercy and resurrection. We are asked to open our hearts to the love that breathes life on the bones and restores them. It is love that opens the graves, that shatters tombs, that unbinds the shrouded ones. Love is present, unfelt, unsummoned, even when we are at our lowest. This is the sacred mystery we are asked to enter into in Holy Week, on Easter, that God's presence, God's love will find us and call us and summon the flesh back on our bones, and that God loves unbinds us from our grave shrouds so that we can live and love freely once more. So love, through Jesus's sacrificial death on the cross, asks us, do we really experience and open our hearts to God? Is love just a quaint title we give to God because it has a nice ring to it? Only death can make us sit and realize that this is not an intellectual exercise. Death is not an abstract experience, and neither is God. Unless we have been restored to life and know what that feels like by God while alive, we will have no idea what Jesus means when he calls himself both the resurrection and the life. Life and death are not the problem. It is whether, as disciples, we will choose to love both in life and death, and that in death we know will make all the difference. And that's what discipleship calls us to face. So we are called to sit in that valley, to sit by the tomb, to shed those tears and to rage if we must, But to seek out Jesus, who has come to awaken us like he did Lazarus and unbind us like he did with Lazarus. Jesus, the resurrection and life, points the way to God's glory made manifest. So let us rise from death to new life as we prepare to witness Jesus' suffering, his dying, and his rising in the next few weeks. And may we, as we enter this final week of Lent, journey to the cross in the shadow of death, and may we know in that experience the hovering, enveloping presence of life. Amen.